So the stage is set for Act One of Life on Earth. It's a very different world to the one we live in now. So how do you get from chemistry to something that's alive? Well, the first thing you need for life is its basic building blocks, and these are called organic molecules. These always have a carbon atom in them, and they're found across all living things today. But where did these come from? Well, one of the most famous experiments into the origin of life was the Miller-Urey experiment. They simulated what they thought the early Earth environment was like, with water, methane, ammonia, and hydrogen, and they shot electricity through it to simulate lightning bolts. And what they found afterwards were a whole bunch of these organic molecules, including amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins. It's since been discovered that Miller and Urey didn't quite have the early Earth atmosphere right, but there have since been other similar experiments which have found the same results. So it looks like these organic molecules could have formed naturally on early Earth. But then what?
My name's Laura Landweber, and I'm a professor at Columbia University in the departments of biochemistry and molecular biophysics and biological sciences. Getting some of these raw materials organized would have been a really critical step, and also getting them encapsulated today into what are cellular structures or in what could have been other ways in which compartmentalization could have captured the raw ingredients that were necessary for life. There are many steps that would have had to have taken place, but a key one along the steps towards the origin of modern life is how information arose and how that information could become transferred into functional properties. So we have metabolism in cells, and we also have genomes in cells. And linking those two together is one of the most critical steps in life's origin.
Genomes are the sum total of DNA in the living thing. It's the instruction manual you need to make proteins and to make copies of yourself. And metabolism is just as important. It's the process of obtaining energy from something in the environment.
Metabolic functions, the notion of a cell's metabolism, the day-to-day events that go on in a cell, today they're primarily catalyzed by proteins.
Proteins take on many important functions in our modern-day cells, including our energy production and our DNA function. But here's the rub. To make proteins, we need the coding instructions from DNA. But we just heard DNA doesn't work without the help of proteins. We have a chicken and egg paradox. How did it first get started?
Absolutely. It is a real chicken and egg problem. People have wondered for decades which came first, the information content of a cell, which is today largely in the form of a DNA genome, or the functional components of a cell, today largely supplied by proteins. So to answer, if we can, at best we can, this chicken and egg paradox, which came first, the structural properties of proteins that can perform metabolic roles, or DNA, which came first? To answer that question, RNA came to the rescue.
RNA is very similar to DNA. Just like DNA, it's made from four bases and can form long chains. Today, RNA is used in our cells as a kind of middleman, helping to send messages around. But there's a clue in one part of our cell as to another role RNA may have had.
Housed within all of our cells is a big factory called the ribosome. And the ribosome takes RNA sequences and makes proteins. But one key that we learned from the structure of the ribosome is that at its catalytic core, the functional part of the ribosome that's really in the business of making proteins, is only RNA. And that helps us understand that actually you can make proteins from RNA. So you can take RNA molecules and add that to what's called a ribosomal RNA and make something out of it that becomes a protein. And there's a lot of protein itself in the ribosome that helps make other proteins, but it would be a bit of an ontological quandary if you needed protein to make protein. So the fact that you can make protein from RNA helps us build a model for how proteins and protein synthesis evolved from a more primitive system on our planet. And it's beautiful and elegant to recognize that at the catalytic core of the protein synthesis apparatus in pretty much all cells on our planet is an RNA machine. And so that's called a ribozyme. It's also part of the ribosome. And these factories for producing proteins are comprised of this mixture of RNA and protein that today function together, but it helps us understand how simpler structures built entirely of RNA, probably assisted by smaller bits of proteins, namely the amino acids themselves, could participate in complex processes.
The idea that RNA came first and was helping to build proteins and provide this information is known as the RNA world hypothesis. But how did the RNA itself get created?
Yes, so the building blocks of RNA are four letters, A, C, G, and U. The formation of those original building blocks is something which is challenging to explain. Some researchers have recently made some terrific progress, but we can also look to our own cosmos to get a basic understanding of where some of this information could have arisen. And even if you look on pieces of meteorites, you can find some of the building blocks for both amino acids and for nucleic acids there. Now, one of the strengths of this field has been its history in organic chemistry, demonstrating the synthesis of the nucleotide adenine was one of the first experiments, the ORO experiment. It was a long time before another lab demonstrated the synthesis of some of the other nucleotides, but now we have a good understanding that it's feasible to synthesize them on an early planet. And one can even detect the raw precursors to a lot of these nucleic acids in meteoritic material, which means that the precursors for life, as some like to say, would have been raining down on our planet in its early days, arriving from interstellar dust, as well as meteorites, and also from comets, so themselves replete with water, they would have delivered possibly a lot of the opportunity for the raw organic materials needed to create the building blocks of life on our early planet.
Laura Landweber from Columbia University.